and this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. It is 2:58, Friday the 19th of April. Tonight begins the Jewish holiday of Passover. Sunday is Easter. And it's the Clam Festival on the peninsula where we live. So there's lots of traffic on the road. It's time for Arts Live and Local. And I'm going to start off with a piece from Dave Rovics. April 19th, 1943 was the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. Thanks for being here, folks. Arts Live and Local, and we've got it.
First they occupied our country, then they spread their vicious lies. Evil propaganda filled our ranks with double-dealing spies. They cordoned off a reservation, built a wall all around it, drove us all into this ghetto, and our city'd never be as the Nazis found. First no one believed it, just what horrors lay in store. The sound of boots upon the staircase, of leather gloves upon the door. Some of us they sent to labor, slave for them to the last breath. Most of us they sent to Auschwitz, half a million people sent to a pointless early death. There were those of us who worked with them, a desperate effort to survive. Even when our numbers were so few, maybe 60,000 left alive. People said we had no chances, by then we all knew they were right. It was 1943, and we, the walking dead, made up our minds to fight. I remember Warsaw. We stood side by side. The Star of David flew above the ghetto. There we lived and there we died. We cleansed the ghetto of their agents, dug a maze of tunnels underground. We begged the Allies give us weapons, but empty words was all we found. So we saved each precious bottle, made bombs of rags and gasoline. And in this script of mindless carnage, we waited in the shadows for the final scene. It was the month of April. The SS came marching in, singing songs to praise Der Führer and all his Aryan kin. To see the shock upon their faces, we'd show the world on this day we'd not go like sheep off to the slaughter. With the last blood running through our hearts, we'd make the devils pay. I remember Warsaw. We stood side by side. The Star of David flew above the ghetto. There we lived and there we died.
That's Dave Rovics, from his album Behind the Barricades, the best of Dave Rovics. And I remember Warsaw. Thank you, Dave. It's something not to be forgotten, especially in these times. That was 1943. This is 2019. Where are we? Well, I know where you are, and I hope you do too. You are at Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. And I want to give a shout out to Squamish, the beautiful Squamish, the beautiful people, especially Sydney and Robin, and Omaka. That's right. And to Tessa and Seashell, and to all of you listening right here, however you hear us. So why it's so wonderful to be here is that we have so much going on in the arts. And I have a couple of folks here who, well, they've got a story to tell, and they're gonna surprise me because I'm out of date. And we have the 21st annual Cardam Art Show coming up next month. And the thing is, last we heard, our wonderful, fabulous Cardam wasn't happening. So how exciting that it is happening in some form or another. So I will introduce my guests, Karen Reddick Yerka. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Carol.
Now, do you have a title these days?
I am a lowly board member.
She was the executive director, and now she is probably a volunteer board member.
Volunteer board member, yep.
So what's lowly about it is not the job, but the paycheck. And the other person who reminded me that last year he was here on this show. I won't go into it, but Gary St. John is here. And Gary, you've been a volunteer from the start, is that right, with Cardam?
Yes, especially with the Rehomed Art Show.
And that was the exciting part. Was it you who came up with that idea?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Because when I said the 21st Annual Art Show, which is correct, two differences. One is that last year they changed it from a, well, there's no such thing as a normal or ordinary art show, but trash art show. But this is a rehomed art show. I'll let them tell you what it is. And the other difference, I think, this year is that you're partnering with Pine Grove Community House. Is that right?
Right.
Okay. So now I'm going to give it back to you guys, or give it to you guys. Tell us what's going on with the show, with Cardam, with partnering with in the community.
Karen, why don't you go first? Because
sure.
Cardam is the big news.
Cardam is the big question. Cardam has operated the transfer station in Manzanita and a recycle center and a thrift store that we called the Refinery. Wonderful. For about 21 years, approximately. And for a variety of reasons that I don't understand, the county commissioners in Tillamook decided that someone else should be operating the transfer station instead of our nonprofit organization.
Which did such a fabulous job.
Well, I like to think we brought joy to the concept of waste.
Nice. And certainly to the community.
Right. So my job today is to try to sever the connection in people's minds between Cardam as a place, mm-hmm, and Cardam as an organization with a board of directors, a budget, a membership, and a mission.
Okay.
And although we don't have a place to operate, mm-hmm, and probably won't attempt the same scale of an operation, at least nothing has formulated yet, mm-hmm, we do intend to remain a vital part of the North Coast community.
That's excellent news.
Yes.
So how does that work if you don't have a place? Because one of the things was there was all the stuff that was for sale, and then the Refinery, as you said, was the upscale stuff. And
right. So our mission is to inspire people to reduce waste.
Okay.
By rethinking, mm-hmm, recycling, reusing. And what's the other one? There's four of them. Never mind. We still have a mission. Trust me, it's all about zero waste.
Yeah.
And the way that we accomplished that in the past was to co-locate at the transfer station other opportunities to deal with waste. whether it goes to recycling or to reuse or to art projects. Hence, the Trash Art Show was a way to creatively reuse materials. Gary brilliantly, my co-partner here, Gary, last year came up with the idea of reusing art instead of creating new stuff. So we had our first rehomed art show a year ago, and Gary can talk some more about that. But essentially, Cardam is still doing outreach and education events. We still have dinner service for rent for very cheap for people who are interested in having a zero waste event. So think about your summer barbecues and things like that. If you don't want to buy paper plates and those horrible red Solo cups, we have stuff available that's all reusable. It's very cheap. Nice. So that's one project. It's very small, but it is something that we continue to do. We continue to partner with other organizations. And because we don't have a great need at this moment in time, but we wanted to remain in front of the community and wanted to continue to promote reuse, we decided to go ahead with the Rehomed Art Show for the second year in a row. And we're partnering with the Pine Grove Community House. And their historic building. That's the location.
Right there in Manzanita, folks. If you're kind of, where are these people?
We're in Manzanita. The Pine Grove Community House is on the main street. It's a wonderful historic building, and they are great community partners.
Yes, they've done with a lot of different missions and issues, plus great music there.
That's right.
And lots of stuff. So, okay. So maybe Gary, tell us about the show. Also, before I let you go, though, Karen, what's is there a website still, or is there a way to get in touch or find out?
We do have a website. There's not a lot of information on it because we're still trying to figure out what's next for us.
Is there and contact, though?
There is. Okay, it's cardam.org, C-A-R-T-M as in Mary, .org. And if people have questions, info@cardam.org is a way to get in touch with us.
Great. Now, Gary, what's the story on Rehomed Art Show? Did you make up the name, too?
He did.
That was a collaborative thing with the board. So over a year ago, I was trying to get suitcases out of a closet, and there were boxes of paintings. And it occurred to me that most of the people who moved to Manzanita are downsizing. And then we buy these houses that are all windows. So there are no walls to hang art. And sure enough, I had boxes of paintings. And I thought, wouldn't that be a great thing to do an art show? Everybody donates their wonderful artwork. And the public loved the idea. It was a hugely successful event. Yeah. And something I have to say about Cardam is one of the big social events in the little community of Manzanita. The Trash Art Show, which has now become the Rehomed Art Show, and then the what's the costume or
the trash and show.
Yeah, the trash and show. Those are the big two social events in the community. And so when Cardam was made homeless right before Christmas, it just really affected the community. And so in the meantime, we had the dates reserved to do the Rehomed Art Show at the Pine Grove. And then the Pine Grove also has a new need. It's an old building. And the roof needs to be taken off and completely restructured and brought up to code. So the Pine Grove's facing a Raise the Roof campaign, capital campaign to take care of that. So we went to them and said, look, we want to do the Rehomed Art Show. Cardam still exists. It was a great community event. And you folks have a need. Let's go 50-50 and keep it at the Pine Grove.
And so was that where it was last year?
Yeah, and it was really successful.
Yeah.
So what happened was, just to kind of give you the history, because I was here pitching it a year ago, hoping that we would get things donated.
Right.
Well, it was wonderful. Couples who had been hanging onto closets full of art, you know, were happy to give the art up to benefit the Pine Grove and Cardam.
Absolutely.
So they were happy to donate the art. And then all these families came in and bought wonderful art for their homes. And it was an exciting event. We should I talk dollars?
Not necessarily.
Okay. We took in a lot of cash. It was good.
Good for our small community.
Yeah, good for the small community.
Not good for the valley, but good for us.
You know what I'm thinking is that you just put it together so perfectly because, as you say, so many of us have collected art over time.
Yeah.
And we don't want to send it to a thrift store necessarily, right, and not have any sense. And so giving people the opportunity to donate it to an organization that they love and right, they appreciate, and knowing also that in many cases it's staying in the community, or at least people who come to visit that community. I mean, it was just, you get a gold star for
that. Thank you.
I was very impressed then. As a matter of fact, I think this year I didn't have time because today is a crazy day for me. But last year, I think I brought some art in.
You did. Your wagon wheel painting was a big hit at the show in Seoul. I remember that.
That's right.
So we had a great art show. We filled the Pine Grove with beautiful artwork. We had an opening party, wine and cheese party, where people could come and enjoy the artwork and begin to buy. And then we had a Saturday-Sunday sale, and there was a lot of foot traffic because it's Manzanita in May, so there was a lot of people. And it was really exciting to see couples come in and look at paintings and then go back out and then come back in and go back out. We actually had a couple who were visiting from the Detroit area who actually had to figure out if their suitcase was big enough for the painting that they loved.
Oh, how great.
And we got it to work. There were just lots of great stories. Yeah. About people really enjoying purchasing real art.
It's definitely a win for everybody.
Yeah.
And so this is happening May 17th through the 19th, and the public is welcome to all of the time, except that Friday night you have to buy a ticket, because for one thing they'll make an even more outrageous party. And the other part is you get first dibs on the art.
Right.
And you get to support Tarnum and Pine Grove.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is Friday the 17th from 5 to 8 p.m. Now, where do they get their tickets?
The easiest way is to email info@cardam.org.
Okay.
Or call the Cardam office. It's 503-812-4901, and we'll make sure that we connect you with the people who have the tickets.
Okay, excellent. And that's for Friday night,
right,
from 5 to 8. Now, the next day, Saturday, is 10 to 5, and Sunday is 10 to 3. Is that correct?
Right.
And those are just open to the public.
Yeah. Open to the public.
Right.
We would love it if people would come. Just,
yeah,
and just head down the coast and stop in, enjoy the art. Buy something if it appeals to you. Otherwise, just enjoy the art on your way down to the beach.
Right.
And we had large paintings, you know, over-the-couch paintings. We had a lot of small paintings. A couple of families came in and let their kids buy artwork for their bedrooms.
That. Excellent.
It was really wonderful.
That's a very special experience, teaching children to value art without busting your pocketbook, just in case.
Right. You know? Yeah, it was really a great occasion to see these families
buy great
art. So I need to plug two more dates.
Please. Oh,
because
yes,
the art show doesn't happen unless people bring us
art,
their used art. And so
I love the way you say used art.
Yeah.
Let's see, folks, how did you use your art?
Yeah.
You can make up a story to go with it, too.
Yeah, the rule is that it's supposed to be something that's hung in a home so that it's rehomed art.
Right.
And that's a lot of people have that. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. You know,
absolutely,
it was a great painting and you've moved it and you don't,
colors don't work anymore.
Yeah,
Or you just
taste change.
Ready to let it find a new home.
Right, right. And so the qualifications are it needs to be framed art, ready to hang and sell. Also, we'll take poster prints if they are numbered signed prints.
Mm-hmm.
We had some of those last year, and they were very popular. And then this year,
those have to be framed as well?
They should be, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the other thing is we're taking this year for the first time art photography.
Uh-huh.
Framed art photography.
Nice.
So again, we want that signed. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be a picture of your picnic from 1953.
You never know.
Unless it's very
unless it's
appealing.
Very well done.
Iconic, as
they
say.
Yeah. So it needs to be what we call art photography, and I think people understand.
Yeah.
Living in the Northwest with all the beauty we have, we know art photography.
Yeah.
So that we're taking that this year. And so we're using, since we no longer have Cardam as a home for drop-off, we're asking people to bring their art to the Pine Grove.
Is that 225 Lanita? That's
yes,
it?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Lanita Avenue on Sunday, May 5th and Sunday, May 12th. Between the hours of
10 and 4.
Right.
And then also on the 16th, the day we're setting up, we would accept art.
Okay. So now if you are driving in the car and you have not been silly enough to try to write all this down while you're driving or whatever, you can get that information by either emailing info@cardam.org or calling 503-812-4901. And
could I add, Cardam
please.
Has a Facebook page as well.
Oh,
look
okay.
for CARTM on Facebook. We also have cardam.org. I don't have anything about the art show on it yet, but I'll do my
okay.
best to get it up there
that
now.
Would,
now that we're
that
now that we're gone public.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think it was a really terrific idea. And the more art, the better. And we know Manzanita is an art town as well, but it's a small town. It's like
right.
one long street.
It
and,
is.
And Lanita is the name of the street.
It's really one it? Short street
That's
in
true.
The grand
yeah.
scheme of things.
Yeah.
Goes to the beach, though. It ends up on the water, which yep. is the biggest art, but you can't buy that. But there may be some photos or paintings of that. But if you... As Gary was just saying, if you have art to donate, that's on May 5 and 12 and 16th. So those are the dates for the drop-off. And then the party is May 17th, May 18th, and May 19th. And it will be, do you think you'll have any music this year at all, do you know? I don't know if you have room.
We don't have room for
yes.
live music.
Right,
yeah.
right.
That takes, we don't have space
right.
for it. It's
yeah.
a fairly small venue.
Right, and you will be full of mm-hmm. goodies. So.
And I'd also like to mention, if you have great art, but you can't make the drop-off on those
oh, yeah.
dates, if you'll call the Cardam office or go to info@cardam.org and give a message, then we'll make mm-hmm. arrangements to
right.
get your art. We want your art.
Okay.
No roadblocks.
No
roadblocks.
No roadblocks.
Yeah. Thank you so much for keeping the concept and the mission of Cardam.org, Cardam Recycling, alive. Karen Reddick, who is a proud board member of Cardam.
Yes, I am.
And Gary St. John, who is a wonderful volunteer who is hanging the show. Is that right?
Yes.
You're going to be...
With help, yes.
With help, yes,
yeah.
I'm sure. And maybe I'll get there this year. I missed last year. I used to get down there every few years for the art show.
I hope you can.
And
I think you'll be pleased.
I know I will. So thanks so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you.
And... we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having us again,
okay.
Carol.
And stay tuned. Got more guests. Right now I have some music. You've been hearing about it. You've been reading about it. Well, it's true. Kim Stafford is on his way to Astoria Monday. And you, the public, are more than welcome to come and see, hear, and enjoy Kim's presence. And my next guest is going to tell you about it right now. For those of you who know Kim as the Poet Laureate of Oregon, as we've heard many times on this show, poetry, music, folk singers, it all blends together. So Kim has got several albums out, and I've got a piece of his music right here, down below Alaskan Way, right here on KMUN KTCB.
Way out here in old Seattle lives a woman that I know. She's the one that's got me thinking. Oh, she's the one when I'm alone. And her name don't hardly matter. Lord, her age I forgot somehow, but the way her eyes can light a room, that's the light I'm needing now. As down below Alaskan way I go walking through the where the ferry boat ties up at sundown. In the dark she drifts away. I met her at Pike Place Market, hawking lobster and fish on ice. I stepped up to the counter when I noticed her gentle eyes. And I said, I'll take some salmon, better give me enough for two. You gotta know I live alone, but you never know, you never know. It's down below Alaskan way I go walking through the where the ferry boat ties up at sundown. Before dawn she's gone away. All through that long dark winter, from November clear to May, I came to know that woman's laughter. I came to know that woman's way.
Well, now you're going to have a chance to know Kim's way and Kim's laughter, because Kim Stafford is coming to Astoria. As I mentioned, Monday and Tuesday. This is so exciting. And I have here in the studio, Nancy Cook and Marianne Monson, and they're going to tell us, he's got a whole bunch of stuff he's doing, and a lot of it is for the public. That's you and me, and I'm planning to be there. I hope some of you are too. So welcome, Marianne and Nancy.
Hi.
And both of these women are in the literary arts, and lots of other things too. They both write and read, and Nancy takes people on trips to Alaska for in the water. But this time, I'm going to let me start with you, Nancy. Who put this together? First of all, this is part of Forest Visions, isn't it?
Yeah, Forest Visions was the lead on bringing Kim to Astoria this time, but because we know Kim from the last time he was here, remember the Having Everything Right project, I got involved, and I've been helping out Susan and Roger and Dan and planning some activities that are devoted to students, and just really excited to have Kim in town and celebrate his poet laureate status. So.
And also he has a new book of poetry out, which is so exciting. I actually just saw him a couple of weeks ago in Cannon Beach.
Yeah.
I knew he was doing a workshop and reading, and so I stopped in. That's where I got the music. By the way, folks, as I mentioned, that was from his album Wheel Made of Wind. It's a 1997 album. And he travels around and writes songs about places, just mm-hmm. as he does with his poetry. So,
yeah, that's two reasons. We are feeling especially lucky that we get Poet Laureate Kim for Earth Day on Monday, the 22nd, because he's such, I'm holding his book, Earth Verse. I mean,
oh, sweet.
He really, he writes all sorts of things, but he's very much a denizen of the Oregon Earth and speaks to Earth Day values so well. But then we are also on Tuesday night, we get to be the book launch for the new book of poets, right. Wild Honey, Tough Salt.
And
so we're looking forward to that.
Whose birthday is the 23rd?
Shakespeare's.
Yeah. And we're not talking about the dentist in Astoria. We're talking about William. So
we might have to write a sonnet.
What is going to happen on Monday evening?
So on Monday evening is the Truly Forest Vision-centered event, but that is Earth Day evening. We'll have a talk in the Forest Visions exhibit up at Royal Nebberger Art Gallery on campus. That's from 6 to 7:15. And Susan Banyas with the Forest Vision Project is going to moderate a poetic response to that beautiful exhibit. If you haven't been up to see what they're up to with the Forest Visions exhibit, this is a great excuse.
This is a terrific opportunity to hear Kim and see all the art and him being in that space at the time. I love that.
Right. Yeah. It'll be great. I've heard there's going to be words from Robert Adams, whose photos are on display, and Susan's putting that whole together. I'm sure she's going to do a great job. So and that, I heard there might be some music and snacks and just an Earth Day evening with Kim at the gallery.
And this is this coming
Monday the 22nd.
Monday the 22nd. So, yeah, today is the 19th. It's like days away. Earth Day. Every day is Earth Day for some of us, so we forget. This is the official Earth Day. Okay, so that is Monday at the Royal Nebberger Art Gallery. It's part of Clatsop College, and that's from 6 to 7:15. And then Tuesday morning, what's happening? Marianne, do you want to?
So Tuesday, April 23rd is Shakespeare's birthday, as you mentioned. And so the events will start in the morning at the Astoria Public Library at 10 a.m. And that will be a public reading and workshop. So anyone is invited to come work with the Poet Laureate. And he will be reading his own work, and he'll be talking about creative practice and the importance of writing your own story. Yeah. So really an absolutely fantastic opportunity to work in a small setting with the Poet Laureate.
Maybe what I saw in Cannon Beach, because it was sort of, he was giving prompts and it was a back and forth kind of thing. And it was absolute delight. He is such he's such a sweetheart.
He's a magical teacher. Yeah. He really has the ability to tap the creative spirit.
A very kind and generous person.
Yes.
And so, and then later in the day.
And then that evening at Cala, which is 1017 Marine Drive, they are hosting the book launch of his new poetry book, Wild Honey, Tough Salt. And that is at 7:30 p.m. and it's free and open to the public.
Fantastic. Now, I like the way you said that. 1017, I'm going, that's right. 1017 is how I say it.
But it's, you know, that works too.
Right. They're both the same. So right there on Marine Drive between 11th and 10th. So he's going to be singing and telling stories.
He's going to read from his new poetry collection. He's going to play music. He's going to entertain us with stories, and he's going to answer questions. So, again, a wonderful opportunity to spend time with just a visionary writer in a relatively informal space. So
now,
very lucky.
Without going into numbers, how is this possible to have him come for, you know, it's more than 24 hours, like 2 days of wonderful stuff, and it's all free. How is that?
Right. Well, somebody had to pay for
it.
That Cala event, you know, normally we help Dinah keep the doors open by paying tickets at Cala, which is very reasonable, but Forest Visions Project got some funding for, in part to put on the exhibit, but also to bring Kim. So they received funding from Ford Family Foundation, Oregon Cultural Trust, Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, and the Coalition, and the Harold and Arlene Schnitzer Care Foundation. So they're funding the Kala book launch and helping. And then Kim also has a budget as Oregon Poet Laureate.
Yes.
So.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That's true. Yes, that would make sense.
Marion and Anne and I were laughing because it says the Poet Laureate will do 20 readings during the year, and I think Kim might have done 20 during Poetry Month. He's such a generous.
As I said, exactly.
Very generous at this time.
We also had the generosity of Cannery Pier Hotel and Spa, so we're grateful for that.
Excellent.
A lot of support.
Yeah, we want to take good care of our artists when they come to grace us. So, yeah, that's the kind of... And Forest Visions has... been putting on a number of film and the art exhibit, Kim's visit, and there have been other lectures, talks. It's a wonderful Susan Banyas and Roger Dorband, I think, and also from
Dan McClure at the library.
Yes. From Clatsop College Library.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And so they've worked together and they've put a lot of time and effort into it. And it's really, it's not just a title, Forest Visions. This is a serious endeavor, right, for us to be aware of what's going on with our trees, our forests.
Right.
And to stand up, speak out, make a difference.
Uh-huh. It's really an attempt to activate creative voices on behalf of progressive change for the on behalf of the climate. So,
Which is wonderful.
I've attended a few of those events they've had on campus, and wow, I actually have learned a lot. We don't always hear the whole story when it comes to understanding not only how, you know, clear cutting forests, we don't only take away the sequestering, the great sequestering force of the universe. The Northwest rainforest is one of the best carbon sequesterers on the planet, better than the Amazon. But new clear cuts also produce incredible amounts of carbon that doesn't get accounted for as the decomp. So I've learned a lot from the various presentations that
were students Forest there Visions as well.
There, I saw some students in the audience.
Yeah. So I understand that Kim will be doing some work with.
Yes.
Is that the college students? Or?
We have two events. So, so these, we don't want to confuse the public, but he will also be working with Clatsop students on Earth Day in the morning. And then.
And the Writers Guild is coordinating his visit to the high schools.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, so he will be working with local high school students as well.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah.
Lucky
he's
going to
be busy. I know. Yes.
Well, whenever he comes here, magic happens.
Yeah.
So this is fantastic. Again, for the public, that's us folks. Monday evening, 6 to 7:15 at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Gallery. And that's way up at the top. If you just go up 16th Street, and then it's over to the east or left. And if you haven't been to the gallery, hey, get over there. Don't get over it. Get over there. Sure. We have time for a quick poem.
Uh-oh, we have to fight for this. I have one that I'm in love with right now, a newer poem from Kim. It's called "Do You Need Anything from the Mountain?" I got to hear him introduce this in the fall, and he said, you know, it's based on when you live in a rural place, you say, hey, do you need anything from Costco or whatever? Do you need anything from the store when you go to town? So he kind of riffed on that and said, do you need anything from the mountain?
Nice.
Could you bring me a smudge of camas blue? And the whisper whistle of that one pine at the edge of the meadow at dusk, when day gives a lost last breath. Bring me the road that becomes deep duff as it trails away into the forest, young firs 10 feet tall along the hump between the old ruts. Bring me a story you hear in dark silence after the last light, the gone that gathers dew in the fingers, not to hold, carry away, but only to feel. Bring me that skein of fire that hangs in intimate eternity, after the dark, but before the thunder, when the bounty of yearning in one cloud reaches towards another, in each being's endless, impossible desire to complete itself before falling away.
Wonderful.
Beautiful.
Kim Stafford. And, you know, this is another magical thing is the Stafford name. His father, yes. William Stafford, was our poet laureate,
yes.
too. And who would know that Kim would then become a boy?
Yeah.
Lucky us. So
I think the poem Nancy read really illustrates the beautiful idea of poets as truth tellers, who really kind of speak the truth of a society at a given time in a given place. And I feel like his work is so relevant and really does that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, both of you,
thank
Nancy
you.
Cook and Mary
Hansen.
For having
us. And thanks
for
to Forest Visions
being
Project.
So involved again,
and
Monday and Tuesday. Is there a website that folks can go to if they...
They can Google Kim Stafford on Clatsop CC and see the press release.
ClatsopCC.edu.
That would probably be the best place.
Yes. Okay, good. Because you don't want to miss this. He also has the cover of Coast Weekend and a nice big article. Mm-hmm. So don't miss this opportunity and bring the family.
Oh,
okay.
Thanks, Carol.
So
see you then.
Okay. And, yes, I am one of his fans, and a fan of this community that makes things like this happen. And I have a piece of music for you that I heard. This is how KMUN works. I heard it on the Scandinavian Hour, which I think maybe we're going to start making a change. I saw that the new park... they're changing the name from Scandinavian to Nordic. And you may, I just learned this when I had my guests from Iceland, that Iceland and Finland consider themselves part of the Nordic countries, not part of Scandinavia. So I've got some music for you. I think you'll recognize it. Enjoy. So, did you recognize it, folks? Yeah, I couldn't believe it. That's Lael Haria opens his program each week, the Scandinavian program on KMUN, KTCB, with a hymn. And this time he opened it up with Go Down Moses, only it's in Finnish. So I called him up and thank you, Lael. And that has nothing to do with my guest, but that is significant because, as I mentioned earlier, tonight is the beginning of the 8-day holiday of liberation and freedom, which from Egypt, and it is the Jewish holiday of Passover, and we're sending out hopes and wishes for people all over the world, including in the Middle East, to get it together and let the people go who need to go and let the people stay, including the refugees and the immigrants who need to be here. Now, my next guest is very much here. Iris Sullivan Dare lives right here in Astoria, although these days you wouldn't know it because she's all over the place.
Oh.
Doing workshops, and she is an artist, a fiber artist, a weaver, and a lot of other things too. But she's here today because on the 27th of April, is that right?
Yeah, next week.
That's very soon, yes.
Yeah, one week from today, or tomorrow.
She is going to be giving a workshop at the Sou'wester.
Yes.
What's the name? Does it have a name?
It does. It's called the Natural Dying Bag of Tricks.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
We're literally going to make a bag. Like, well, the bag's already made, but you're going to get to use natural dyes to paint and print on the bag.
Okay. How do you spell the word dying when you...
It still has the E.
That's the difference.
Yes.
Okay, folks.
Ironically, when I switched my degree, I was like almost done with a biology degree, and I morphed over to the art department in the last minute, and I called my grandparents up to tell them about it, and I'm like, it's because I'm so interested in natural dying.
Oh no.
And like, they just got totally silent.
Yeah,
and then it wasn't, and then I was like, oh, 10 minutes into the conversation there, I'm like, no, not death. color.
Yeah, it is tricky though. When you see it written, you know either somebody has made a mistake or they're two different words.
Yeah, because it's two totally, ironically, at this point in my life, I'm actually interested in both natural dying and natural dying.
That's right. That's right. But in this case, we're talking about the
color.
Fabric and
yes,
color.
Yes.
So what's going to happen? And tell folks, because just recently I was wearing that beautiful indigo scarf of yours, and someone said, that's indigo? And so I tried, and I failed miserably, to explain about why there are so many different colors of blue that come from the indigo plant.
So indigo is very special in that it can give a really wide range from very, very pale colors to very like dark navy blue is also traditionally from indigo.
Right.
And part of why that's so special is many natural pigments are different at different concentrations. So if you, for instance, madder is red. So like our flag is red, white, and blue because madder and indigo were the most light, fast dyes.
Ah.
And since we didn't have synthetic dyes until the 1860s.
What's the word you're using?
Oh, madder, M-A-D-D-E-R. And it's another gorgeous plant, the queen.
Okay.
But it has like 20 different colors in it. Right.
Wow.
Available. So like if you just dye it for a little while, you might kind of end up some yellows, and then it gets into oranges, and then it, you know, eventually. So but indigo, once you extract the indigo pigment, you can get, you know, I mean, there are other things going on in the indigo plant, of course,
mm-hmm.
but you can get this really wide range of blues that are all true to themselves. Like my dress right now is indigo.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
See,
from my garden.
You dyed this.
I dyed it. I made it. Yeah.
You made the dress and you dyed it?
Yeah.
Okay, folks, this is why you want to take a workshop with Iris, because this is a very specific workshop, but she is so knowledgeable about so much that you don't have a clue where you're going to end up. And hopefully you'll end up with a natural dyeing bag of tricks. That's very cute. I like that name. But you'll also end up with possible other routes that you want to take and learn from Iris. What time is this workshop going on?
It takes place, it's just a half day, so it's 11 until 3:30.
11 till 3:30. And that's going to be quite the day to be at the...
And notably, we won't be using indigo because it's its own process. It's very different than all the other dyes. But I will have a whole spectrum of amazing colors, both traditional dyes that have been traded for centuries and also some from plants I grew in my garden. Oh, there you go. Sorry about that. Sorry if I was too quiet for people. So there'll be a whole bunch of different colors.
So can you name some of the other plants?
Yeah, so Weld is, it's interesting, on Instagram, every time I hashtag Weld, I get all these
welders.
They feel like, wow, cool. What are you doing? What does this have to do with weldings? But Weld is a bright, clear yellow that's been used by people since Neolithic times. It's the green of Robin Hood was Weld with indigo. It's the most light fast. So if you see any yellows really in any old tapestries that are like 400 years old, it's probably Weld. It's kind of this amazing plant. And then I'm going to, of course, have Madder because she's the queen. She's the queen.
Queen
Madder. And I will have some logwood, which is it's one of the dyes that persisted the most and it still has use today because it's incredibly useful as a biological stain. Scientists, you know, so doing slides. For slides. Mm-hmm. It's mostly purples, but also grays and blacks.
And what's the name of that?
Logwood.
Logwood. Okay.
I can't dredge up the genus and species name, but
no, that's good enough. That's good enough. I'm just getting a so.
And then from my garden too, I'm going to make a paint out of coreopsis and marigold, alder cones too, and walnuts.
There you go. And God knows what else.
And I got this, it will be revealed in the class, but a green.
Okay.
A special green.
Okay, good. So now you said you will be providing the bags. What are they made out of?
They're organic cotton. So I'll have a couple of square cloths that they could use to make like gift cloths with. Bandanas or whatever to practice on. And then I have some cotton, and it's big enough to be like a shoulder bag. The bag itself is a little bit smaller than like a big grocery sack, but you could definitely take it to the farmer's market or just whatever special things you want to put in it.
What if someone says, I have a shirt of my own?
That's a fantastic question. After taking my class, they'll be able to.
Ah.
However, I'm doing things to the cloth prior to the cloth it's called mordanting, which means to bite. You can imagine like the dye and the cloth are star-struck lovers separated, and the mordant comes in like the matchmaker and is like, come to me, and helps them connect to each other. And without that matchmaker, they're just too shy to become friends.
So unless you're going to spend the night biting on your clothing,
yes.
don't expect to be able to dye it.
But I will provide people with information that they could then do this. Hopefully, you know, you don't just give somebody a fish. You teach them how to fish. I always feel like that. I would like people to be able to do this more, of course.
And as I mentioned, Iris lives here. So if, you know, there's enough interest, I didn't ask her, of course, about this, but I'm thinking if there's enough interest, people could possibly put together another workshop another time.
Oh yeah, I'll be teaching some more in the fall for sure, and I have some private workshops over the summer, but probably like more like and you don't have to stay at the Sou'wester.
Right.
You can just go up and take the class.
So how do people need to register in advance?
They do,
though?
And they need to contact the Sou'wester to do so. And you can look on their website, and you can email them or you can call them. And I have their phone number, but that's, I don't know if that's too crazy.
No, go ahead.
The phone number is 360-642-2542.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And otherwise, you can research Sou'wester Lodge. And they have an outrageous website, as you've heard when Ivy Ross Ritchie was here. And she does the music part. This is in the workshops part. And just look on there. But so they're the ones that you register with.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
yeah.
There's probably a limited number, I would think. So that's 11 to 3:30 on April 27th, which is a Saturday, a week from tomorrow. And if you're there, you might be wanting to stay, because from 5 to 10 that day, there's a party.
Yeah.
They're celebrating their 7th anniversary.
You could go to the workshop, go out and have a nice dinner up mm-hmm. on the peninsula, and then listen to a whole bunch of fabulous live music.
Right. Boy, they've got lots of stuff happening. So I just might have to do that.
Oh, it would be so fun to have you. Oh, my gosh.
I can't see what... Oh, yeah. There's, you know, the problem around here. You know what the problem around here is. There's stuff happening. It's stuff. But it is on my calendar, so... Iris Sullivan Dare and the Natural Dying, that's D-Y-E-I-N-G, Bag of Tricks.
And so they'll be painting and printing.
Okay.
That's the...
Painting like, with...
With the thickened dyes.
Okay. With your hands, though, or
oh,
brush?
Oh, no. I have brushes okay. and stencils and block
So you're
block
providing
printings.
Everything
yes,
people
just,
need
yeah,
to
they come just come on in and play.
Sounds like a blast.
It's like...
Yeah.
Color and play.
Double party.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
yeah, thank you.
Iris. Okay. And I do want to let you know a few other things that are going on right about now. And by the way, speaking of music at the Sou'wester, there is a little bit in the background here. If it starts to get loud, though, I'm going to have to shut it down. I just have a few things I'm going to mention. And Hilltop Auditorium, Friday and Saturday at 7, is the Owako High School is putting on the show Clue on stage. And it's a murder mystery. And then on Sunday, they'll have a show at 2. The Astor Street Upbreak Company, The Real Lewis and Clark Story, or How the Finns Discovered Astoria, is Friday and Saturday. We're talking tonight. Friday and Saturday at 7, and they're on through the 20th. And then the Labor Temple tonight has comedy at 8 and a dance at 10. Tomorrow, the Skamakaway Swamp Operas at 7 o'clock at the Riverlife Interpretive Center at Redmond Hall. Sou'wester has the Saxophones and Lynette. And then the River City Playhouse at 7 o'clock, the North Coast Blues and guests are putting on a fundraiser for the Peninsula R&B Festival coming up later. Public Coast Brewing has Eric John Kaiser. All weekend, there's all kinds of stuff going on for the Razor Clam Fest on the Long Beach Peninsula in Washington, right across from Astoria. Cannon Beach Chamber at noon. Susan Spence is doing a baskets workshop. Don't forget the Astoria Repair Cafe on Wednesday. And on Thursday, the Huffman has the Brazilian Strings Trio at 7 o'clock. And the Bridgewater is featuring Equinox, which is three of our wonderful local musicians. There is lots more happening, but I'm going to let you have a little bit of music and then time to think about all the good things that you want to do in this world, and using the arts to help make that happen, whether it's the fabric arts, visual arts with Kim Stafford, however it works for you, poetry. The main thing is compassion and reaching out to other people, sharing your talents in this day and age. Thanks, folks. Carol, signing off. And coming up next is Left, Right, and Center, KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, and coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Bye-bye, Squamish.